Mr. Haig, reel 9.
Was it?
Did you tease each other?
Oh, yes.
What
yeah.
sort of teasing?
I told her, Cordon, what she was up to. I mean, say, for a start, I mean, say, you wouldn't interfere with a bloke watchkeeping if he was getting his head down, as a rule. You'd leave him alone. But I'd give you one glorious case. When I was under Vivacious, we had some Chinese midshipmen, you know, come to the fleet for training. And we had a couple come aboard us. And we was at Ayers, you know, just by Toulon, or Toulouse. And it was going ashore. So my signaller was on watch. He says, here, he says, look out for us for a while, will you? Well, yeah. And of course, he slid off. And he went down the below, found one bloke on the upper deck. So he said, I'm quite quiet. He said, you know, in Chinese midshipman, and the bloke said, yeah. He said, oh, he said, they're just going ashore in their full Mandarin outfit, a little hat and trunks and all that. He said, they're done half of a sight. Well, she come up on the bridge. He said, watch it. And a couple of minutes, up come a couple of boats on the upper deck, then more. Before you look around, all the luck was up, just to watch these midshipmen going. Most when they went ashore in lounge suits. And of course, I may say, when the people started moaning, he turned around and he said, what? He says, I didn't say anything to you, he said. Never spoke to you at all. He said, oh, so-and-so. He said, oh, he'd say a lot of things. Well, he did.
When were you in the Vivacious, actually? Because I can't see it on the list here. Just...
It would be. Oh, no, it's after the... a long time after
yeah,
the...
Yeah, this must have been in the 25,
30, 28, 29? No, I was in the year by 29. Somewhere about 32.
What were the... when you would work alongside the sailors and the stokers, would be calling ship?
Oh, in a big ship,
yeah. What would be the duties of the signals branch there?
Well, I may say all sorts. I may say, in the St. Vincent, I was nearly always in hold. In the Drake, we was tipping party, you know, tip the bags, tip the coal down their chutes. Good old Drake. Albemarle, the same, tipping. Glory. But in Irvine, yes. Because I've got a picture somewhere of us. I've never found it since.
It was all hands and it was also an evolution.
Yes.
It was a race.
Well, of course, after the war, I mean, it wasn't much of a race then because you'd hardly got any coal-burning ships then.
Pre-war.
Yeah.
And it could depend on how, which coal you got.
Yeah. Your luck was in.
Your luck was in.
See, if you coal from lighters, I may say it was dead out. Because you had to rig your own derricks and that then, and oh, hell.
What sort of job was that, in fact?
Well, the coal come in these damn great lighters, here, and you get down there and you had to rig all your own derricks up. And that you'd have the people up there on the winches working the derricks, people down the hold filling up the bags, and people on deck tipping it. And of course, it wasn't like a swing in, swing out business.
Dirty job.
Oh, it was always dirty job, filthy job. And I mean, say, if it rained while you was doing it, then the coal dust soaked into your blooming clothes and you didn't get it out. See, if you had a canvas suit with coal in it, it rained, you'd bin. You'd never get the damn stuff out of it. So it was always a dirty looking, never proper white.
And again, this was the competition, the first up, the race, yeah. And so on, you had to win.
Yes, you had to clear your hold and all that like.
You also, I think, said quite a lot of people were injured, usually, somebody at least.
Yes. Well, I may say nearly always someone lost the number of his mess entirely. I may say, we had a bloke, I don't know whether that was a St Vincent or what, but he had a ton of coal coming at him, and he was commander's messenger. He was taking behind a little bit behind the commander, and this ton of coal swung in and smashed him up against a turret, and what much of him left.
These sort of accidents in fact could...
Yes, I mean, and then when you was out torpedoing it, so your upper deck was one mass of wires. And just imagine what that's like when you're getting in and out.
And calling ship also involved the officers as well.
They were working.
Everyone wore special calling clothes, I think you said. And it was a chance for everyone to get... A very relaxed occasion, was it?
I mean, say, the ship was out of routine. Once the ship was out of routine, I mean, say, it was all right. Of course, and I mean, say, you were smoking nearly all day if you wanted to.
And would the sailors tease a signalman about their strength? White hands, not as a rule.
Oh, they might pull their legs and say, what's up with your lily white hands? And all that luck when you started. But I mean, say, what long for you was blasting tight, blacker than them as a rule.
And the officers, could you tease the officers in this case? Would you, relations were different?
I never see anyone take a mickey. No, they was generally just supervising. You know, come on, hurry up. And
they didn't actually, weren't active with the old
boroughs? No, not as a rule. Not even midshipmen.
Another important area of things about signalmen that makes them certainly distinctive in the Navy, as we said, was dress, that signalmen are very tippy.
Yeah, and not only that, see, 9 times out of 10 they was in blues when the rest of the ship's company was in ducks.
Yeah.
Because they was on the bridge, and they was in blues as a rule. It used to be dress day number 5s, that was duck suits, tutiman number 3s. It was your blues.
And you had to be especially...
Oh, blimey, I mean, so you had to be up to the mark anyhow. Of course, then again, it's all according to what ship you was in. Because, I mean, say, if you was in a destroyer, you couldn't expect to... and been at sea for a week or something like that, you couldn't expect to be spruced up like anything on Fuller's Earth, could you? Because you... washing facilities were very limited.
How could you manage things like washing, ironing and pressing these things?
An ordinary sailor suit didn't get pressed much. You used to get pressed by blooming pressure more than anything, or a rolling pin and a board. But so you used to fold your clothes up, and of course your trousers, you've always got the cross creases where you fold them up like and stow them in your bag or lock or wherever you got.
Did the chief yeoman or somebody, senior leading signalman, inspect the boys and the young signalmen?
Not as a rule.
No.
I mean, not make a fuss what name of it, but if you was up there and they looked, they'd say, ain't you got any soap or something? Of course, if you were scaly, I mean, say you, it was a crime anywhere. I mean, say you get, during the war, you've got some of these hostility ratings. I mean, say they didn't know what it was to wash themselves.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that right? One of the things about the HO ratings that you...
Yes. I mean, say, of course, they used to wash them on the upper deck in front of all hands. I mean, say, if you was crabby...
Did they?
Yes, I mean...
I think we also said that sailors are great ones for tiddling the uniform, for adjusting it and making the trousers wider or so on. What sort of things would they do, did we say? What sort of...
Well, I mean, say, they'd have a low-cut jumper for a start. Unless, I mean, say, the bloke was fussy, and then, I mean, say, of course, they'd pull it together, perhaps with a tape, and open it up when it was ashore. See, they'd have their... black silk scarf. Instead of tying a knot on the back, they'd have it in the front with a little pocket and tucked in. Of course, now they've only got half silks.
And prior, I mean, these things were quite commonly done. Sailors practiced them themselves. Was this pride in the uniform? Was this to be different?
Yes, I see. You get some people may say they look smart in a blooming overall suit, wouldn't they? And you'd see people say, who never dirty his head in. Black bloke might be doing more work than the others.
But you never, most people altered the official rig out some way.
To fit them, yeah.
You had to make it change.
But of course, the thing was, 9 out of 10 used to have a maid. Eh? Well, if you had a maid, you had a maid to fit you. Whereas a pusser's issue, I mean, so it used to fit like a sack, as a rule.
Fit where it touched, more or less. But you could get, what would it cost you to get one made yourself by Dewing Taylor?
If I remember right, you used to buy 6 yards of serge, and it used to cost you somewhere about 6 bob.
And so much to make it up?
No, that was, I mean, so you'd buy your serge and pay about 6 bob for him to eat, run it up on the donkey.
And with inspections and things, would they see that you weren't quite regulation? I mean,
yes. I mean, say, even the colour of your serge suits and that lot, you know, the different colour serge. I mean, so you'd see them pick some of them up. And, of course, before the First World War, we had these big sunnit hats, you know, like kids' hats. You'd only got to wear them once, you know, with a bit of sun, and it faded. And, of course, the bloke would, you went in Pompey Barracks like that, they'd say, oh, you want a new sunnit hat? And that was the first thing before you, he looked at anything. And then your collars, you know, faded.
And it was inspections, usually around the barracks, that you got?
Oh, yes, going in and out.
Going in and out, you had everything checked. And it had to be complete.
Oh, yes.
So you had to buy replacements?
Oh, yeah.
There'd also be Admiral's inspections, probably.
Yeah,
just suddenly.
The Admiral, when you had Admiral's inspections, he'd go round the ship and he'd say to his signal officer or even commander ship, I want one signalman to muster peg, one telegraphist to muster hammock. So many seamen from so and so, and he'd have all these tabulated. Of course, his signal officer would have given him the list, like. And he'd just tell the commander what he wanted, and they'd lay him out. And you'd see the people rushing round and saying, lend us a third suit. And out would come the old blacking and his type and his Markham, his duck suits with blackings, and the white suit and the blue suits with blancos. And he'd have a full kit until the bloke finished.
Then you pass it back.
Yeah, return stores.
So most men got by without the whole uniform, in fact. I presume the officers knew that was...
Oh, yes. In fact, do you know, some people had more or less 2 sets of uniform. One they never used, it was just for mustering. And one they used, it was, you know, it definitely wasn't regulation, 9 times out of 10.
Yes, Sunday divisions, they were...
Yeah, see, the PO or chief of your division would be the first one, inspector, see when you fell in. Then would come the officer of division. And then 9 times out of 10, the commander would come round, and then the captain. Then by the time the captain had come round, of course, all the delinquents had been tabulated.
And that was commander's report?
Oh, yes, as a rule.
Probably.
Unless it was just for a thing like, get your hair cut. See, of course, the haircuts in different ships, different cap ribbons. In one ship, obviously, you might be allowed to wear a decent lot of hair. Another one, he liked you just with an inch and a half of foretop.
It depended on the commander to a great extent. How it differed.
Yeah.
And this was true for discipline generally?
Yes, right throughout the Navy, that was. I mean, see, you got some ships where the bloke was reasonable. If you got hair, well, so long as it's neat and tidy.
I think you made the point, though, as well, that you preferred ships that were fairly tight.
Yes, if they were, providing they were properly disciplined. I don't mean, you know, only a bloke there say this, but a properly disciplined ship was ideal for anyone who could do his job. I mean, see, if you couldn't do your job or you wanted a loaf, well, I mean, say it was unfortunate for you. But you get a ship that's got a good discipline, and it's it. You know exactly where you stand, and you know exactly if the order's so-and-so and so-and-so, that's it. And if you try to buck that, well, I mean, say it's up to you.
You prefer to know where you stood all the time?
Yes, definitely. I mean, say you get some of these ships that... 1 minute there, Callio, next minute there, Pussers. No good at all. You know, you get a bloke like Louis Mountbatten. Discipline. I mean, so there's no argument about discipline.
You sailed with Louis, did you?
Yes, in Warspite.
In Warspite.
He was our assistant fleet wireless officer. Then he went to the QE.
How long did you...